Thank you. So Sel will be our first speaker. Sel has been a longtime Al-Anon member who, may I mention, started in Alateen. Sel didn't mention that earlier, but yeah, Sel started in Alateen. She's our convention chair. So Sel, when you're ready, you can.
Okay.
There we
All
go.
right. Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for coming. I'm really excited to have all you guys be here and just to see all the faces without the mask. I really loved it. The full face. It's really nice to see the smiles. Well, yeah, like I said earlier, I've been in the program for 6 years. I started the program when I was 16 years old. And it's been a roller coaster since. I can definitely say I'm not the same person, and I am happy for that. Maturity has come over the years, and it's just really relevant to our topic, growth through unity. I have had tremendous growth in this program, and from literally not understanding what the 12 steps were to thinking that they were only for my mom, to coming all the way to living this lifestyle that has given me more doors than I can imagine. I guess where I want to start off is I live here in San Mateo, and I started in Alateen in a meeting in Menlo Park, and it was a meeting of maybe 16. But we were very active teens. We loved to go speak. One of my first speaker meetings was hosted by Nick D. It was Diversity Day all the way back in like 2015, I want to say, or 2016, which seems so short, like it was yesterday. Wow. Sorry, but it's like I said, it's been a roller coaster. So starting off with everything, my mom is kind of what brought me to the program, and it was she is a recovering meth addict, and she has been an on and off one for the past umpteen years, more than I can ever imagine. And basically, I always grew up thinking that was normal, thinking it was normal to wake up, to go ahead and go to your mother who was fast asleep at like 9:30 and be like, "Hey, what medicines do you need to take?" And going to school, her driving me, or back in the day, there used to be a phone book for schools of parents in the area of who could drive your kids around if you were sick, which I don't know if they do that anymore, but it was one of my Bibles back in the day, you could say. But going from there to taking care of my younger sister, to coming home and cooking dinner and seeing my mom then get so much energy from about 6 p.m. to good 1 a.m. And that was life. I didn't really know much else other than that. When you're a kid and you grow up with it, you just think it's normal, until you see something that's not normal, which like going to a friend's house. I do grow up in a really rich neighborhood, so I did think that it was just because everyone else was privileged. I grew up in an apartment home, and my rest of my friends lived in Hillsborough, California, which, if any of you guys know, is one of like the richest places in California, and especially in the Bay Area. But yeah, I just thought that, they were privileged and that maybe I was normal to the average Joe. And which really just kind of set a barrier from the get-go, from going to school for me, was just like, I never thought that I would be able to go ahead and think that kids would judge me. I thought my friends wouldn't judge me. I had a lot of friends, but I never had like a real friend. I don't know if any of you guys can relate to that. Just everyone knew of me, just didn't know who I was. And coming into Alateen, though, that was the huge barrier. Was I didn't want to break down that wall. I would tell you every little thing all the way up until we get to the real good shit. You know what I mean? So, and it was a real different perspective for me to think that I had an issue, because all my life I just I grew up wanting to change my mom. At first, I thought she was addicted to cigarettes because that's all she would smoke around us. And then I realized it was meth when I found my first pipe at 10 years old. I didn't really know what it was until I learned about drugs in school and health class, you know what I mean, in like middle school. And then I figured out what it was. But before then, I didn't put the two and two together. And for me, it was really challenging because I always wanted to be like, okay, well, you know what? She has a husband. She has kids. She has a life. You know what I mean? She has a house. She has all these ups. Why would she be doing this to herself? And I just wanted to figure out why. And why. And as you can see, my pre-programmed self was so toxic because I wasn't saying anything about me in that whole entire statement. And so my real recovery, because I'm not gonna lie, I don't know if it's just me and me wanting to be a Superman here, but I came into the program thinking I could get an answer for my addict. And I thought I would learn something in this program and then I could just go and fix her and then we'll be hunky-dory and then I don't need the program anymore. Well, I learned real quick that wasn't what it was. I started my real recovery, I would say, 2 years after I got into the program. At first, it was really just like as a teen, you just want to know, you know, who is who's going to the meetings. It's just like school, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go to the meeting to meet these group of people because they have the same lives as me. So it doesn't make me feel alone anymore. It wasn't really like until I got like a year and a half to 2 years in where I was like, maybe I should actually start listening to what I'm reading every night. And I became 2016 NOCAC chair, which is the Northern California Alateen Conference chair, and I was voted into it by the previous years of attendees, and it was one of the highest moments of my teen life in the program. But it was also the most difficult year because I learned all the behind the scenes, and all you GRs and DRs understand me. When you go from sitting in that seat on the Alateen or the Al-Anon side, and then you go into the position in the service side, and you're like, whoa, what happened there? That's basically what it was. I was speaking, but I wasn't, I didn't have any like experience in going to NCWSA meetings. I didn't have any experience in writing reports or treasures or anything like that. Anyways, but yeah, being NOCAC chair is when my real recovery started. So back in 2016, and one of my biggest things is that I was a really strong believer. I think that's what we all are a little bit, or just strong believers in what we believe in. And that's kind of what brought me to the program. You know, I was a strong believer that I was going to find a cure. I was a strong believer that I was going to do something better for myself and for my family, or that I was going to do it. But I had to be a strong believer in the 12 steps, and I had to make it a constant. It wasn't just a one and done. Anyone who's been in the programs for years know that it's not just a 6-month program, just like a rehab or something and you're fixed. You know, it's a lifestyle, like I keep saying. And I had to make it a constant. So once I graduated Alateen and I put all the NOCAC stuff behind me, I was like, what's next? Because, you know, out of 10 Alateens, most of them, 7 out of them, you know what I mean, are going to go to AA. And you have that very few who are actually going to go find a program, or those people out of the 7 are either going to go to AA or not even go to a meeting at all. And that sucks. And so I did not want to be a part of that statistic. I learned that, and that was kind of engraved for me through the years. So when I went into Al-Anon, I could not find a meeting that was connecting with me. Either people were kicking me out because I was too young in meetings. I wouldn't even say like my total experience there, but I just was asked by the secretary one night, like, hey, you know, we have some people who are uncomfortable with a young person here. Can we have you like maybe step outside for a few minutes? Or it was, you know, and I started losing faith in the program. I was like, what is my higher power trying to tell me here? Like, is it, what's going on? And what I realized, it was just, make your own meeting. You know, you always have been a leader. You led, you know, the NOCAC, just make your own meeting. So you know what I did? I made it in a right here in San Mateo, and it was a young adults meeting, and I started it up with another young adult, and we went from 5 into like biggest was about 15 people at once in a library. And you know what? It was in a library because it was rent free. You know, my higher power, it was really just trying to be like, come every day. There was meetings where I only was by myself. And if you're in those type of positions, it's hard to just stay there. But, you know, I stay because you never know who's going to pop up, what time they're going to pop up. It's just always being consistently there. And for me, my Alateen meeting, there was only 2 sponsors and they only had 3 kids sometimes. And sometimes it was only them 2. And so when I would see the phone log, right, when you're logging in or whatever you want to say it is, but they would only be 2 of them for like the good 3 months. And I would ask them, why? Why did you guys keep it open? And they said, because of you. Because of who comes through the doors and what comes through the doors. And you never know when it's going to come and you never know what time it is. And right, that's just like my higher power. You know, I never know what's going to happen, when it is. You know, my higher power works in mysterious ways all the time. But I just knew that I couldn't give up on the program, because giving up on the program meant giving up on myself. And I never wanted to do that again, because when I gave up on myself and I left the program for a good 6 months, I was just like, you know, I got it. I know what the 12 steps are. I know the 12 traditions. I know, you know, I can't control it. So I'm good. Let me just go to work and work full time. I don't have time for a meeting. That was my excuse, you know, and I just saw myself go down the hill so fast. And I just, you know, it's a meeting gives me that energy, you know, that inner energy. And it gives me that balance in life where I can go there, because growing up, I couldn't go to a school counselor and say like, hey, my life is so messed up, because they would call CPS in 2 minutes. And you know, their way is to get rid of my mom and dad. And that wasn't my solution. I wanted to, you know, be okay. I just didn't want to have to do all that. And so coming to the meetings and saying like, yeah, you know what, this happened this week, this happened this week, and no CPS, no follow-up meetings, no kids looking at me weird in the playground knowing my business because of anonymity or anonymity, whatever you want to say. It was great. It was so great. And starting the Young Al-Anon meeting, I saw my maturity grow through the roof, because I had that unit. I had those 5 people in my group and they were my unit. They were my family. And being a young adult today is not easy. It's like you see your friends get famous quickly on Instagram or social media, right? Or we have the pressures of who's going to succeed first, who's going to become the next Bill Gates, who's going to become the next Steve Jobs. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I thought I was going to cross my line when I get there, but I feel like I'm competing with all my, you know, 500 people who I barely know or have only met once. And it's so much pressure, because at the same time, everyone's always figuring out, you know, no one realizes that those posts are only going to be of successes, you know what I mean? And they only are going to show the good. No one's going to show the rough patches that they're going through. And these meetings is what brought, you know, is what brings those rough patches to life. It's what gives me a safe circle to come into a group of people who are like-minded and who are just so, you know, motivated from the same background, and they understand you in just such a deeper level. It's just on a different level. I don't know how to put it into words, but I guess I go off on that on tangents. I'm sorry, but the program has taught me a lot, and it's taught me progress, not perfection. And that was my biggest thing to mature, was to realize that I'm not going to be perfect. All you know, anyone is asking for is my best. No one is saying how big my plate is. I get to choose how big my plate is. And If I want it to be small, it's going to be small. And I shouldn't have to worry about the outer thoughts because they can't control who I am. If I'm feeling good every morning, why does that concern you? Why does that hurt them? It doesn't. And if it means that I'm going to have to get up and say the Serenity Prayer 20 times a day for me to feel good about myself, then so be it. Why do I have to feel judged or like I'm different? Because that one little thing brought me to my ideal perfection. And when I say do my best, that's what I mean. Like, I really focus on that. Every morning I will do my best. And those main words is my best. I'm not doing anyone else's best. I'm doing my own best. And, you know, if some days that means to be a couch potato, I shouldn't beat myself up for it because that's what I need. My meeting, though, has become like my family. Like I said, growing up in Alateen, I thought that was when I needed my parents the most and that family love. And that's not right now. Right now is when I need it. Yeah, because I have a full-time job. I'm trying to get my master's degree in college. I'm trying to maintain friendships. I'm trying to maintain a relationship. And that little kid inside of me just wants to be like, you need something, you need something. And it's somebody to share that success with. It's that celebratory, like, you know, lifting of like, yeah, this is good. I am proud of you. Those words I seek from my parents and from anyone else I try to be with, because I thought that if I wasn't perfect, then I was nothing. I didn't know that there was an in-between. And I didn't know, you know, that I don't have to be there today and I don't have to be there tomorrow. It's going to be when I'm there. And whoever is going to be there with me will be there. And whoever leaves throughout the journey wasn't meant to be there in the first place. And that's really what the program has taught me, is that support is huge. People are going to want to feel like they're on track. So supporting my group too, supporting my tribe, telling them that they're doing good, telling them, you know, some people that love language just needs to hear it sometimes. And I know we all of our little kids' voices in our heads just go, aw, whenever we hear, I'm proud of you. There's no turning back. So I'm just gonna end it here. That all I would give, if I were someone new just coming into this meeting today, the advice I'd give is to find yourself a real family and to be consistent, not for anyone else, but to be consistent for yourself. Because just like tradition 12 states, it's principles above personality. And this lifestyle works, and it's definitely here to stay. Thank you.